Viva founder Juliet Gillatley interviews Jeremy Cunningham, bass player and Viva supporter from The Levellers.
Hello. I'm here with Jeremy Cunningham from The Levellers, who is in the midst of their tour, Levelling the Land. And this is your 25th anniversary tour for your second album.
It is.
Which is quite some feat. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you've been all over Europe and America.
And Australia.
Yeah.
World, basically.
The world is yours. How's it going?
Yeah, really good.
Is it normal for you to have a schedule that is this grueling?
It's normal for us to play more. We more usually do Europe. It's rarer that we go to America.
And how were you received in the States?
Yeah, well, but we it was just the East Coast.
Right.
Where we know we do all right.
Yeah.
Like, the further south we go, the less people are interested.
Yeah.
And the further towards the middle of the country, no one wants to know.
That's something to do with your politics, maybe?
Yeah, probably, yeah. All the places that voted for Trump weren't interested in us.
So, talking of that, I mean, you've been a very political band, and obviously it's one of the reasons that your fan base loves you, that you are outspoken, and that a lot of your songs are very political. And this, of course, is a celebration of your politics in some senses.
It is, yeah. We start the concert off with a six-minute intro film specifically about all the political events that inspired the album and everything that's transpired since we recorded the album up until now, made by the same guy that did the Curious Life documentary.
And the guy that made the Curious Life documentary, I have to say, is one of the best films I've seen in ages. It really blew me away. And that's because it centres around you, but you're so disarmingly open about... Well, about everything, really.
Every kind.
But also, well, you've got such a lovely sense of humour in it. But
well, you know,
did you make a decision that you were just going to...
Be honest, basically.
Yeah, be honest.
I mean, the filming took about 3 years.
I can't recommend enough seeing the film. It's just really, really good. Going back to sort of like, because it is a celebration in a sense of levelling the land, what's your feeling now in terms of like the world voting Trump in and Brexit and stuff? Where do you feel like... How does that make you feel in terms of your politics and what we've been fighting for so long?
It's like, you know, we keep on saying it's the world has turned upside down, you know. And that was one of the, funny enough, was one of the slogans of the original Levellers party in the 17th century, who we took our name from. And you know, ironically, you know, when the world turned upside down, the Levellers, we always do pretty well out of it. Ironically, you know, I suppose because people want a bit of an escape from reality, but at the same time they don't want to ignore that reality, so they come, you know, to our shows. So, you know, we've actually done all right. We're one of the, you know, recessions and stuff don't really affect us. You know, we do worse if people are really well off.
Yeah.
But it has, but
because they feel comfortable.
But having said that, it has been, you know, the annus horribilis, you know, it has been a shocking, you know, we couldn't believe that Trump got voted in. You know, we were in America for the first debate, we watched that live on TV before we did our show, and we just couldn't believe it. And no one that we spoke to over there was intended to vote for him, but we were on the East Coast and in Washington DC and a little on the West Coast as well, so we didn't touch his main areas, which is kind of like the Midwest. And as for Brexit, you know, we made it very clear that we were for Remain. We had it on our website. We had our Levellers logo, which is a big sun, and we put that in yellow on blue with the European stars all around it and said, this is, you know, you do what you want, but this is the way we're going, you know, because we spend half our time in Europe. We always considered ourselves to be European.
Do you think that recent events could trigger some good songwriting?
Well, there's plenty to write about, that's for sure. Yeah.
Do you think that Trump knows that in Britain Trump refers to being a fart?
I certainly hope one of his aides has told him that.
Talking of that, when I was reading about you, I know that you're apparently quite famous for this, but I didn't know it. Was that when Levelling the Land was launched onto the world, and you obviously you built up a fan base pretty quickly at that point, and yet you had this strange situation where the music press were incredibly vitriolic and nasty about individuals in the band, the music, everything.
mainly our appearance.
Yeah.
And our lifestyle choices. They were all there in their kind of ivory tower, and they thought they had the power to make bands and break bands. Yeah. And we came from left field. They didn't see us coming. You know, they didn't understand how people that looked like us and lived on buses and in squats and stuff could have that kind of power over the populace. And so they decided they wanted to try and break us, basically. We were one of the only kind of left-wing bands up there actually sticking our heads up and saying what we believed in.
How long have you been vegetarian?
Since I was about 18, I think. 17, yeah. 18, yeah, 18, I'd say.
And can you remember what the trigger was back then?
Yeah. It was because I fancied a girl who was vegan, basically, and I wanted to get closer to her. and she, you know, she used to do all, you know, cooking and stuff. And okay. You know, I thought, yeah, it tastes all right to me, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of left home and was just starting to learn how to cook myself, you know, living in a shared house when I was at art college. And so, yeah, and I've always been an animal lover, so, you know, to just leave the meat out of stuff, you know, squat slop, we used to call it, and, you know, and just to add, in those days, it was like a TVP, you know, or maybe not, you know, have not no meat substitute in it at all, just all the vegetables in a big, like, soupy kind of stew kind of thing that we'd eat for a week. And I thought it tasted all right, and I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders, that I wasn't involved in the death of any living creature anymore. And it's been like that ever since.
So why did you... Because you've been involved with Viva on and off for, gosh, 2 decades now.
Long time, yeah.
Yeah, so why do you support Viva?
Well, I think it's important that you make people aware of these various issues. You know, I've got to say, sometimes I find it hard to look at the magazine. Mm. You know, some of the pictures in it, it's like... But, you know, yeah. You've got to see these things and, you know, respond to them. And I think it's good that there's people out there, you know, doing that. And I especially thought it was good during the BSE crisis, you know, when you were on telly, having a go at people on telly in a very intelligent way that they just couldn't, you know, put any arguments up against. That was a bit like, reminded me a bit of, you know, the critics with us, with Levelling the Land, what they were trying to do to you, because they couldn't beat your arguments, they were just kind of insulting you.
And in fact, I remember they tried to do that to the one professor who actually stood out as an academic. And in the House of Commons, they said, "Who is this man?" And they did this written answer where he'd published hundreds of scientific papers. They just tried to actually categorise him as a lunatic because he dared to say he crossed to human beings. And, of course, he did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was their sort of modus operandus.
Indeed.
And today, what is your motivation for staying with, you know, not consuming animals? What is it that drives you now?
I'm still, it's that original thing that I still just don't want to be, myself personally, I don't want to be involved in the death of any living creature.
Mm.
You know, I sit around the table with people that eat meat all the time, but I don't want to be involved in it.
Mm. How do you cope with other people being so close to the people that do that, kind of not...
Well, you know, I'm used to it, so it doesn't really kind of affect me that much. Every now and then, it might put my back up and I'll have a go, depending on what mood I'm in. Or if there's someone who's being just completely obnoxious. But, you know, those people, like back in the old days, people used to make fun of you for being a vegetarian and let alone being a vegan, you know what I mean? And but these days, people don't. But, you know, occasionally you might get someone who, you know, we don't really know who's ends up sitting around eating, and then I might be drawn to have a go.
We just did some filming about 3 nights ago in a turkey shed that's endorsed by lots of celebrity chefs, from Jamie Oliver through to Nigella Lawson, where the birds are actually getting in the feed bins because they're obviously incredibly hungry.
Yeah.
So they've clambered in and they're just suffocating and they've died and they've been left there. for a considerable length of time as well. And I've actually never seen a place with so many dead animals, actually. And this place is sort of celebrated and lauded as being one of the best. And you just kind of think, again, whatever you think about politically, it seems that the same mentality goes behind all of this exploitation. It's this attitude that you can exploit for money, and somehow that makes it all right because you're the privileged one.
Well, yeah, and most people don't think about it, do they? You know, they choose not to, you know, engage with where their food comes from, basically the bottom line. Yeah.
But it's kind of waking up to anything, whether it's people, politics. Like going back to some of the songs in You're Leveling the Land, isn't it? Or animal politics, whatever. It really is all the same, don't you think?
Yeah, no, yeah, of course, yeah.
It's just the same joining the dots, isn't it? It's all attitude, really,
indeed,
of what's acceptable, what's not.
Yeah, and, you know, that's up to everyone to make their own mind up, isn't it? You know,
how's it
I know
feel?
Where I sit on it.
Yeah, and you've made that very clear. So how does it feel going back, singing the song? Because you're doing all the songs from Leveling the Land.
Yes, we are, yeah.
How does it feel singing songs from 25 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, obviously, it's good, actually, you know, because we had to go back to the album and, you know, listen to it, because those songs have changed over the years, the way we've been playing them live.
Sure.
And so we've had to go back to the album and listen to it, and if the album version was better than our live version, then we'd relearn it to play the album version, which is what happened most of the time.
Right.
But there's a couple of songs we play live that sounded better than on the album, and we've kept them. And there's one that was a single, and we've kept the single arrangement rather than the album arrangement, although we play it all in the same order as on the album, and we play the whole album all the way through, and then we do a few greatest hits at the end, kind of thing.
Is there anything that stands out for you when you're like up there playing in front of that audience that really gets you going in a good way?
Really, it's just them singing, you know, when they sing the song, when they're singing along the lyrics, you know. Sometimes, you know, me personally, I sometimes go, oh yeah, I wrote the words. You know. And then Mark and Simon do a couple of acoustic ones, and so and they you can really hear the crowd singing then, you know. And I think, oh yeah, I wonder if they think that, you know, because they wrote those songs. I'm like, oh yeah, I wonder if Simon thinks that, because he wrote the lyrics to 15 Years. I was thinking, I wonder, which is one they sing probably the loudest out of all of them. I was thinking, oh, I wonder if he thinks about that. Well, I've never asked him. We don't really think about this kind of thing unless we're asked, you know.
The songs have travelled through time really, really well. They don't feel dated in any way whatsoever.
No, they still sound really good.
Yeah.
You know, and they're still, you know, depressingly relevant.
I know, I was thinking exactly the same.
I know,
it's almost getting even more relevant, isn't it?
Yeah, everyone says that. And I suppose that's one of the strengths.
Yeah.
Of it, you know, and one of
the reasons you've got such a mixed audience is that everything you said yesterday is just as relevant today.
Yeah.
And you've got, I mean, it really struck me when the last time I went to see you that the audience is so mixed in terms of age. I mean, it really is.
As long as they're nice to each other, we don't care, you know.
What do you think your secret is to staying together as a band for so very, I mean, you know, some of you have been together 30 years now, in fact, most of you, haven't
all
you?
All of us, really.
It's a long, long, long
it's
time.
Really easy, you know. First of all, we're friends, you know, we're tolerant people, but the main reason is the noise, you know, the total is bigger than the sum of its parts. So we know that we need each other, you know, to make.
Did you always know that?
Pretty much from when we first hit the first note, yeah.
Really? I mean, I know you put Leveling the Land is like a celebration of an album that was launched a long time ago and is very iconic in many ways. Do you feel excited for the future in terms of developing and evolving as a band?
Yeah,
as well?
No, that's what keeps us going, you know, is the thought of always trying, you know, we'd want to try and make a record that's better than than Leveling the Land, you know, which is a big ask, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we made that when we were about 24, you know, 23, 24, and now we're all almost twice that age, you know, so yeah. But, you know, there's plenty to write about at the minute.
There certainly is. Oh, thank you so much for giving me your time. And,
no worries.
Really look forward to hearing you play in a few minutes.
Yeah. I'm just going to put my face on.